Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show. Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blackened Studios. For more information about Blackened Studios, please visit their Facebook page or their website at blackenedstudios.com. You can also email them at podcast@blackenedstudios.com. Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. Listen, we are back in the studio.
Back in the studio.
I am your co-host, Michael Eric Owens, along with...
I'm your other co-host, Deshaun Thornton, or rather known as DT.
DT, we are so happy to be back. How you doing today,
man?
DT?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Yesterday, man, I had to get a couple of vaccination shots.
Yeah, because you're going to the continent, man.
Traveling over to Africa for a few weeks, so got my yellow fever shot, got my polio shot, and got my typhoid fever shot.
Okay, wonderful, man. You are going over to be among some of our listeners.
It is. It is going to be an interesting experience to go over and meet some of our listeners, too, because I've also made contact with some people that are actually listening to the show.
That's wonderful.
I'll get a chance to have some conversation with them once I get over there.
Well, let me just say this. Man, stay out of the sun, though, bro.
You know, when I came back from Belize, I had that tan.
You had the tan.
Talking about
you had the tan going on. But that African sun, now that sun is like beaming down on you, man. I remember one cat went over there. I told him, because he was real dark. So I told him, I said, look at here, just find a tree. And, you know, get an umbrella or something.
Protect yourself, pretty much, what you're saying to him. Huh?
You come back, we might not even be able to see you. You might be so dark. So, but, man, I'm excited for you because I know for myself, my experiences on the continent were just amazing. Mm-hmm. And they live with me. Get some art, you know.
Oh,
come back with some art.
Definitely.
And just really enjoy yourself. It's going to be a learning. It's going to be educational. But it's going to be a lot of fun.
Sure.
And it should demystify some of the ideas that, you know, we've been ingrained with.
Of course.
About the motherland. So you're going to come back like, it ain't like that.
But, you know, you already feel that resistance from when you tell people. They're like, are you sure? And then, like, some people even ask you, like they know what parts are dangerous. Like, okay, what part you going to? Like, getting ready to tell you to be careful for something, but just really asking you because they're not sure themselves.
Listen, in Kenya, on the west side in Kenya, man, I'm telling you, they rough.
Yeah, it's crazy over there. You gotta be careful. But yeah, man, I'm excited. Like you said, I enjoy being able to travel, first of all, and then, you know, being able to go and experience the culture, be able to bring some art back, bring some cool experiences and knowledge back. So I'm overjoyed. I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
Well, that's great. And I'm looking forward to, you know, all of your tales, you know, when you come back and just share your adventure.
And I'm bringing back gifts.
Oh, you know.
Bringing back gifts.
Yeah.
Do got some for Richard.
Can we make requests?
You can, because I really want to
make
I want
to make like a dollar amount request.
Though. A dollar amount?
Yeah.
Kind of like,
because you might bring me back a toothpick from Africa or something like that. You know, like, here you go. You know,
man, I do something better than that, man.
You know, yeah. You know, just as long as... You know, I'm easy to please, man. You know, $500 level or something
okay.
like that.
Little
you know?
500.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Shipping and handling. I'm just trying to add it all up.
Yeah, it's $12 now. And but no, that's wonderful. You know, we wish you safe travels as always, and just looking forward to receiving you when you return. You know, I had a great opportunity, and you know, I just got back from Chicago, Chi-town. And I'm a private cat, so I don't talk about family a lot, but I'm gonna say a little bit about my daughter. You know, my daughter, some of you looked on Facebook and you've seen her, man. My daughter, man, she's off the hook. I mean, the things she's doing. I mean, she got a small part in Spike Lee's new film, you know, Chi-Raq. And I was up there for the premiere, which was at the Chicago Theater. Beautiful, beautiful venue. Of course, Spike Lee was in the house. Nick Cannon, John Cusack, Jennifer Hudson Wesley Snipes was in the house, and it was and she looked amazing, and I was just so proud of her and the things that she's doing, you know, not just with her acting career starting out, but also, you know, she's been modeling, you know, she's been in New York Fashion Week, and you know, she's cosmetic contracts, and so she's just doing some really big things, and it was real cool because, you know, I got the chance to go chill with her.
Yeah,
you know,
man,
I mean,
right.
'Cause she only got one ticket, you know what I mean? And yeah. I was like, you know, real honored to go spend that time, you know, with
That's
her.
Cool,
and you know, just you know, see her in her element. You know, she had a couple of photo shoots when I was up there, and you know, man, it's just you know, it's a beautiful thing. And I'm just so happy for her. If you, you know, get out, I think it's it starts December 4th nationwide, you know. It's a crazy movie.
You can't give up too much, though.
No,
nah, right?
Well, it'd be hard to give up anything with that Spike does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's provocative. It's a wild ride. And I encourage people to go out. Of course, you know, Chirac is about, it's a play on the violence that has happened in Chicago. More people have died in this time period. I mean, he puts out the data, but in relation to those who died in the Iraq War.
Mm.
And on the city streets of Chicago, Inglewood, for instance, even, you know, on the South, even the South Side period. Man, they killing people, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. Again, you know, last show, I think we talked, or the show before, we talked about black-on-black crime. But it just really hit home for me.
The Vanishing, right?
You know, they had all the mothers there. That morning, we attended part of John Cusack plays one of the priests in Chicago. Some of you might know Father Flagert of St. Sabina Church, on the South Side. And he has been a civil rights advocate for as long as I have followed his career. And so, as I mentioned, John Cusack plays him in the film. But at 11 o'clock, the cast and the crew was, you know, Mr. Lee wanted everybody to be at church. And it's amazing church, amazing people. And when Father Flagert got up to give his message, what I did not know, he said that Dr. King was preparing to give a message that Sunday. But he was, of course, murdered before that week. And the title of that message was America, You Too Shall Go to Hell. And he got up and he preached that message. Oh my goodness. Everybody in this country, at least, needs to hear the words that man shared. Profound. He talked about our lack of concern for the least among us.
Mm-hmm.
How can we be a moral voice in the world when we neglect those that are at our gates? And he came out of the parable, talks about Lazarus and the rich man, and how he begged at his gates every day for substance. I don't want to give too much away because, DT, we're going to play some on air here at One Mic, One Voice. And I did get an opportunity to talk to him afterwards, and he's interested in being interviewed on the One Mic, One Voice show.
That's great, man. Did everybody go to the service, Spike and everybody?
Yeah. Wow. Spike got up and said a few words, man.
Wow.
Yeah, he dropped a bomb, too, in church, so it was kind of weird. Yeah.
Profanity?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was like, yeah, I was like, Brother must say it a lot.
Which one was it, if you don't mind me asking?
It was A.
The A?
Yeah, it was A. Wasn't the F, which was cool. The A, you know, everybody was kind of like, ooh, just say that, you know. But I think he caught himself afterwards, you know. But it was, you know, it was all in the air.
You know, like when you're in a creative element, I guess, like Spike Lee, you may just forget where you are all the time.
All
so
the
it's
time,
just like
just,
normal conversation.
But he said he hadn't been in church a long time. Matter of fact, he said doing this film, he had been in church more this time in his life than he had ever been.
Wow.
And he was talking about it, and then he said, you know, maybe Richard can bleep this, but he was saying how when you mess up, he said only time we went to church is when we messed up and they sent you south, and when you got down south, you know, they took your ass right to church.
So that was the context in which
which he's 100%. When you went south, you went to church, okay? And that's where we used to send all the, you know, your relatives when they mess up. Well, just, so where's Alice at? Oh, she down south, man. Oh, she down south. Oh, yeah, yeah.
She needed a resurrection. Huh?
Yeah, she with grandmama and grandpapa. Yeah, she down south. So, but yeah, all of them were there, man. It was, you know, Nick was there, Nick Cannon, John Cusack, all of them were there. You know, it was an amazing event. I feel very privileged and honored
so
to be part of it.
So for the premiere, was that just for the for the cast members?
No, the way it's set up is, you know, it's, you know, of course, the best seats, the closest seats are for the cast and the crew and a guest. And then they open it up to, like, they give promotional tickets to radio shows, to organizations. And so when we got there, the line was around the block.
And I know you smiling because you're like, I ain't even got
to
wait.
I don't even have to wait.
Amongst the
elites. I'm with someone that's in the movie. And it was cold. You know,
I forgot you know, that you were in Chicago. It's not like Oklahoma City right
that,
now.
That Saturday, we got almost 8 inches of snow.
Wow.
Fell. And the premiere was Sunday. So, man, you know, I had to, you know, I came with, you know, I'm from there, right? So I came with a big jacket, but I had forgot, right? I forgot I needed the hat, okay? I needed the scarf, and I needed the gloves. Everything. So, you know, so we went and geared up. I'm like, no, we got to go. You got to take me somewhere so I can get me some more clothing because it was cold.
Yeah, they said you got to buy your winter gear from there. You can't go with what you got.
Nah, it might not stand up in all the pressure. But my coat is from that neck of the woods. So it was, my coat was good.
Mm-hmm. You just don't have enough layers on.
Man, and I thought every time I think about moving back, which sometimes occurs quite often, man, I think about that cold, like we used to call him, the Hawk. I think about when the Hawk come out. it's tough to deal with. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, it's difficult, but so then they had an after party afterwards, you know, where they had a DJ and, you know, everybody was there it was a lot of fun, man. At the Chicago Cultural Center, which was a few blocks away, they had the the after party. Everything was free, you know, hors d'oeuvres and, you know, so yeah, you know you living it up.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
That's how they do it, Hollywood style, you know. But yeah, it was a fun, fun trip.
You have to hold your pinky.
Yeah,
up
I had, you know, I was practicing in the mirror, you know, but I was looking more like dude from was that one guy from you know, the little small dude that was from that movie,
Cat Williams?
No, not Cat.
He the small dude from most movies. Yeah, Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Well, you know who I'm talking about. Richard know who I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that guy.
We can't think of his name,
Austin
but
Powers. Mini
I was practicing, but I didn't look too good at it. But yeah, it, you know, good experience, man. Proud of her and the work that she's doing, and just looking forward to seeing great things from
hopefully
from
we'll be her. Able to have her on the show sometime.
Man,
really
I would love to, man. And matter of fact, I'm here to announce that we're going to have a theme song here in a minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I was. Oh, yeah. We're going to have a theme song here in, starting in January. Matter of fact, an artist from Chicago is going to be working on it for us. From the Windy City.
Shout out to Chicago.
Shout out to now Chicago. Listen,
in reference to that movie, Chirac, of course, is about the violence and about all the terrible things that are going on there amongst black people and, you know, this murderous environment. They say you don't, the people that aren't from Chicago or from Chirac, they don't refer to it as that.
No.
Because it's almost a disrespectful term. Did you get into that when you were up there? Did
well, you know, it? You know, Spike took a lot of criticism for the title, and I think rightly so because. But first of all, let me back up. Chicago is a tale of two cities. Downtown, if you go out east, north, man. Lovely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you downtown Harley, no violence. South side, west side is the other city. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the reality is Chicagoans, just like Americans, need to understand that you cannot have a tale of two cities. It's we should not live in a country where I can travel 20 minutes and live like I'm in paradise. Mm. And I travel 20 minutes back in that direction and I'm in a war zone because Inglewood is a war zone. That 9-year-old boy they pulled outside, man, and I had read the story, but the 9-year-old boy they pulled outside and killed, they retaliated. They killed him as retaliation on his father.
Wow.
When do you kill a child? To retaliate because his father's in the gang.
That's the kind of stuff we see in movies.
Man, that is right. that's almost unthinkable. That is so deep to take the life of a child because you're retaliating against his father. So you take his son. That is, I don't even know how to wrap my head around
that. That's
a
deep level of disgust. And,
you know.
And
that's us hate. Killing us.
Yeah.
How do you take another a young black boy's life because you are mad at a black man? You take his son.
It ain't his son.
I mean,
that's the only way they explain it.
That's just, to me, it's just, I can't look at another black boy or white boy and not think, you know what? I need to protect you. You know, I need to be looking after you, not hurting you, let alone to kill you. Because I got a beef with your father, so I'm gonna take his son. I mean that. I don't know how to rationalize that. Like, how did that happen? Did it really happen? You know, just people just make it up. But did somebody really do that?
And it's like now we live in that time. Like, oh, you're saying, man. Is this real? Like, is this really what is going on around here? You know, like even the stories that come out that we read about. You know, some of them are facts and some of them are fiction. And because they come out in such a high number, high volume, it's really hard to filter through the bull crap sometimes.
It's out of control. And yeah, he like you said, he did get a lot of criticism for that. But to me that's okay because he's creating dialogue around this issue that so many people want to say they politicize this issue, DT. They say, well, you know, you want the president in his own state. Okay, there's they have gun laws. Right. And they have more murders than anybody else. So in other words, that somehow if you have more guns, you're going to reduce violence. I mean, that is, you know, I was thinking the other day, if we could, and there's no way statistically you could know this number, but since the invention of the gun, how many lives have been taken? Mm-hmm. I mean, that I think
we couldn't even write that number down, probably.
Since the invention of the gun, how many people have died by a bullet? I mean, it would be staggering, you know. So one invention has wreaked so much havoc. Mm-hmm. How many tears, DT, have been shed because of that invention? Okay. Now I hear the critics now. Now you know, I own guns, okay? So I'm not saying that folks shouldn't have guns. What I'm saying is guns kill. Bullets kill. Well, no, people kill. No. Okay. Guns kill. Maybe the mentality of a person to kill another person is a discussion in itself. But the invention was invented to do what? Mm-hmm. To make you happy?
Not a tickle machine.
Okay. It was invented to do what? Right? Yeah, it was invented to take life. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whether it's an animal's life, a human's life. It was invented as a weapon of war, a weapon of combat. And it has been, and I will give it an A+.
It does its thing every time.
It doesn't discriminate. You know, that young girl in Chicago that performed for the president, went back and got shot in the park, that 14-year-old girl, you know, doesn't discriminate.
And now we're talking about this this state of fear that we're in right now, right?
Yes, yes. And we're going to shift to that. DT, think about what just happened in Chicago, the video that we saw. And we're going to play some audio from that video that was on CNN with Laquan McDonald. Actually, DT, let's go ahead and take a listen to some of the audio that was from that CNN interview.
You know, the prosecutor put it like this. She said that investigators, both federal and state, went through this video second by second, dissecting exactly what had transpired. Now, they also talked to witnesses to corroborate what they were seeing and also what they were hearing from people on the street. And she put it like this. She took us through it. She said, if you look at this video, you'll see Laquan McDonald walking on the street. 6 seconds after arriving on scene, the police officer who was charged with first-degree murder is seen with his weapon pointing at Laquan McDonald, and he starts shooting. If you take a look at that video closely, you see him on the left-hand side of the screen, John. Now, after that, the angle of this video changes. We asked the prosecutor why, what happened, and she said that the cruiser that had this dash cam moved. That's why the angle of that camera moved, and you don't see the police officer firing his weapon. You only see Laquan McDonald on the ground. Now, like you mentioned, all of this happened in about 30 seconds. The officer discharging his weapon 16 times. Now, the autopsy report shows that Laquan McDonald was hit 16 times. Now, of course, you mentioned this community has been asking for this video to be released for a year now. We finally get to see the video, and now that this officer is being charged with first-degree murder, his defense attorney saying that this officer that this case must be tried in the courts and not in the media.
There's a lot of questions, Rosa, John, about the timing of the charges. Why was it that the charges were only announced right before this video was released, the video that was released only because of a judge's order?
You know, we got to kind of have to take you back and give you the background. Community leaders here have been asking for the release of this video for a very, very long time. State and federal investigators got involved, and they were doing a simultaneous investigation. Now, the U.S. attorney released a statement today saying that they continue to investigate. Their investigation is active and ongoing. Today, the prosecutor said, told the media today, she said that the only reason that she released these charges early, even though she had decided to file these charges weeks ago, is because of the release of this video. Now, the release of this video is because a journalist filed a FOIA request and asked for the video to be released. A judge in civil court ordered for this video to be released at the very latest tomorrow, Wednesday. And so because of leaks, we are told, this video was released early. And of course, we saw the police superintendent and the mayor here making this announcement, asking for calm, asking for people to, yes, to exercise their rights, but to keep calm and to protect property here in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, he had a knife in his hand, but you could see he was walking away from the officer. And this officer, I mean, they pulled up on him. It was several officers, and he shot him 16 times.
You know, my biggest question is, why is this story just now coming out? They said in the video, this is over years past that, you know, this situation happened, and now they released the video. What do you think the idea is behind that?
Well, I mean, fear. Mm-hmm. Fear of what it might do, how people might react to it. I mean, black leaders in that community have been calling for that video, like you say, for over a year. We want to see what is on the video. And it's amazing to me that it took that long. But this, but if you think about it, this officer, too, let's just say this. This officer has 18 complaints, citizens' complaints against him. Okay. And two of them, well, three of them now, including this latest one, all three of them total had to do with some sort of shooting. Mm. So let me just say this. So, okay.
Gun related.
So one citizen comes in and complains. You say, well, you know, officer, you know, he's a decent guy. I don't believe that. Okay, two come in. You say, well, yeah, you know, he's a tough job. He's doing a tough job. So three come in. 10 come in. 15. Sooner or later.
Yeah, when you get
dude, you know, sooner or later, you, of course, you're a problem. Okay. Sooner or later, you're doing something wrong. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Yeah. And I just think it's a failure of the police department to take this officer and send him packing. And now we have a young boy, another young black boy that died for what? What? He didn't attack the officer. He had a knife. Well, okay, you're supposed to be trained to deal with that, okay? To be, and it's, come on, if you're trying to tell me that three officers, trained officers, cannot take a knife away from a black teenager, I'm going to say you don't need to be wearing a uniform.
What happened to the negotiation team?
Exactly. And saying, well, you know, we're talking him down, yeah, getting him to drop the weapon. How's about, you know, yeah, you got your gun raised. Shoot, you know, I'm not going to say shoot him, but how about shoot him in the leg? Hmm. You know, shoot him in the arm. I mean, you go to the range, you know how to shoot. I mean, but you shoot him 16 times, DT. Hmm. On the video, you can see where it's going through him and it's hitting the ground, and you can see, you know, the concrete, mm-hmm, smoke coming up. He was dead, and the guy was still shooting him. Mm-hmm. Okay. 16 times. Nobody deserves to be shot down like a dog. Okay. A dog doesn't even deserve to be shot down. Okay. I love animals. Let me say that. Don't be criticizing me. I don't want you to get them emails. You don't love no animals, man.
You're right.
I got animals. I love animals. Love dogs, cats, all of them. I try to avoid stuff in the road when I'm driving. But I can save my life. I won't run over no squirrels. So don't be sending me no hate mail. But yeah, it's tragic, man.
And that's the bottom line. I mean, you really can't even explain that behavior, man. It's like, it's a tragedy.
How much longer are we gonna see this?
But you know, man, what I'm thinking now, because, you know, even though we have the video cameras, we have the video evidence, if you will, that even now doesn't save your life sometime. Having, you know, police put in these compromising situations when they have, you know, the blood on their hands, on their gun, evidence of video surveillances or whatever the case may be, and they still get to walk away free, you know, sometime, or still don't give the family, you know, the real clarity and the real closure that they deserve when dealing with these type of situations.
Well, I'm going to say this. Black boys, black men are vanishing. DT, we're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. Listen, folks, stay tuned. We got some more great stuff to talk about that's going on in our world.
Coming right back
at you.
Be sure to like us on our Facebook page, One Mic, One Voice Podcast. Follow all of our content on the OneMicOneVoice.com website, or be sure to email me at DT@OneMicOneVoice.com or Michael Eric Owens at OneMicOneVoice.com. Keep listening.
Welcome Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice
Welcome
Show.
Welcome back.
I hope you didn't go anywhere. Hope you got your tea, your green tea. You like green tea, bro?
I like green tea. I haven't had it in a long time, but I like it. It's pretty cool.
You don't seem like a coffee dude.
I will not go out and seek it. Like, I won't listen, I won't do anything extra a part of my day to go get coffee. No. But like, say if I'm meeting you for breakfast some meeting I'm having, like I'll have some coffee, but I'm not gonna take my car anywhere to get it.
So it's not a priority for you. You're not the Starbucks sort of guy. You don't have a gold card.
I don't. Okay. Man, okay. When I wake up in the morning, I'm like already on 10, you know? So.
Oh, okay. So you got that type of energy.
Yeah, I wake up out of the bed ready to go.
You just bounce up, mm-hmm. huh?
Yeah. 5 o'clock.
Wow. Nah, I can't do that. I'm not a morning
You're not a morning
person.
No, that's
not,
right.
You know that about me. I'm not that's a morning. Right. My brain don't even work. I'm like, I'm not even hearing anything. If you tell me something 5, 6 o'clock, trust me, it will not get done. I don't even, my brain does not compute. Now, 10, 11 o'clock at night, oh, man, I'm on fire.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's when, you know, that's when I'm moving, man. But, oh, my God, no, man, these 8 o'clock meetings, I'm just like, you've got to be kidding
like,
me.
Really?
Serious. I ain't heard nothing.
No coffee for me usually, but I will drink it sometime.
Yeah. So, man, I got to take that Starbucks gift card I bought for the brother.
I mean, don't
Christmas.
Take it back. I'll go.
I put $500
with you. $500?
Yeah, I put $500 because I figured
I
was. I
promise you, we could have done something else with that.
I was trying to match that gift from Africa, man.
We could have worked that thing out a whole nother way.
Lot different. Talk to me first.
Yes, please.
But yeah, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, it's been removed, but it's still, I think, in the dialogue very much so. Man, what happened in Paris?
Wow. The terrorist act. It seemed like we've been having these terrorist acts happening everywhere around
ISIS.
The country. Right now, we're in a high level of threat for terrorism. They've shut down the traveling for some areas. Man, what are we gonna do, man?
I just, you know, it's
and we talked about this state of fear, which
absolutely.
We'll get more into.
Yes,
but for good reason, you know, people are scared because their safety is in jeopardy, and nobody can count on anybody to, you know, keep them safe.
How can you? Because it could be. The dude sitting right next to you, you know, that scrap with a bomb. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be anybody that just can walk up, you know, but what has been interesting, you know, this comment about not having refugees come in this country. But do you know the screening for immigrants coming in here? It's like a 2-year screening. I mean, they go to, it's not, the problem is like the 9/11 hijackers, they had visas. The problem is with visas. The problem is not with immigrants. And how we always politicize this issue, and we never really understand where the problem is. It just sounds good that we're not going to have anybody from Syria coming in here, when really immigrants are the most screened out of anybody. You can get a visa and come into the country much easier than you can do as an immigrant. Mm-hmm. And so we, man, our dialogue, when we politicize everything that goes to what a president's not showing leadership in the world. I mean, okay.
You know what, man? America has gotten so bougie. Like, we just above everything now, right? Because we don't have a past. We don't have
own
inconsistencies mm-hmm. and problems. Yeah. And, you know, these things that we've done to ourselves sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we get to point the finger at these other people and say, no, you can't come in. We don't want your type in here. But you just went to Chicago.
Absolutely.
And there are more people who've died there than have died across the sea.
Absolutely.
And so what are we really talking about when it comes to, you know, recognizing what's the threat and what is not?
Hey, okay, well, let's talk about terrorism. How much terrorism has been done by, quote-unquote, American citizens, on American citizens, movie theaters, okay? Let's talk about that. Timothy McVeigh, let's talk about that. I mean, the idea that we are more afraid of people in Syria than we are the Dylan Roofs in our own country is the reason why we're having mass terrorist acts. What just happened with the Black Lives Matter protest in Minnesota? Okay, two white guys came in, faces covered, end up shooting okay, several of them. Hmm. That's terrorism.
And there was another guy jumped at a Donald Trump rally.
Oh, absolutely. So this whole idea of, you know, Syrian refugees being the bad people, Muslims being the bad people. The last time I looked, Dylann Roof wasn't a Syrian, and he wasn't a Muslim. Okay. Oh, the last time I checked, Timothy McVeigh wasn't a Syrian. He wasn't a Muslim. Charles Manson wasn't a Syrian, wasn't a Muslim. Okay? The list goes on and on. We need to understand. It's twisted, man. And it's creating, you know, it's creating this state of fear. Mm-hmm. And think about it. We talked a little bit about this. Fear is a natural reaction to protect yourself from something. Okay?
Powerful danger. Emotion.
It's a powerful emotion that is temporal. It's not to be maintained over time. And what we are living in a state of fear. Think about that for a moment. And it's not to protect us. It's to terrify us.
To divide us,
think about the psychological, the emotional, the stress that comes along with constantly living in fear. Okay, that's what terrorism is all about. Okay, listen, folks, on our webpage, on our Facebook page, we have launched our book project, Racial Profiling Through a Black Man's Perspective. That's not the title, but the title is on there. And we want your stories, because racial profiling, DT, in itself, when you get behind the car, you're fearful. Mm-hmm. Officer pulls behind, you're fearful. That is supposed to be an emotion that saves you, that does not hurt you. And we're living in what? A state of fear.
And now let me say something about what you just said. When you see a police officer, that's supposed to indicate something, right? Yeah. That's supposed to indicate safety, security, protection, all these other things. But something else about fear is that you cannot ignore what you're scared of. Mm-hmm. So even as a black man growing up in black neighborhoods, being around other black people, policemen don't send that signal to us when we see them. You see little children ages 3, 4, 5 years old. They see the police. It's like, oh, that's the police coming.
Yeah.
And they're afraid. They don't even know the full capacity of what a police officer's job is. Yeah. But yet at 3 and 4 years old, they already know to be scared of that, to be afraid of that for some reason. And so when they're in our community, we don't ignore them because we see them. But we're also scared of them because we don't know what they're capable of.
Yeah. I'm scared. I'm just going to keep it. I don't care what anybody say. You know, what has been happening across our country with cops murdering people. I'm more afraid of the police than I am any terrorists. That's terrorism in my book. That the fact that I can't, just what Donald Trump just said. When he talked about Muslims, and he said, well, you know, some of them are great people. Some of them are wonderful people. He said, but you know your neighbors. And if something is going on, he said, you're smart enough to figure that out. He said, just call the police. Have them check it out. Have them go in there and check it out. And they're probably wrong, but they should check it out. Listen, man, that is so subjective. So in other words, what I fear now, oh, I've got this Muslim couple that then moved in. Oh, there's a lot of cars over there. I better call the cops so they can check it out. What type of infringement is that on your freedoms as a citizen?
Exactly. That you see a number of them and automatically it's supposed to be.
There's a lot of blacks over there.
Yeah, because, you know, if we see us walking down the street in a, I'll say 3 or more, that's a gang. That is a gang.
Can't assemble.
There's no way for even a group of people, you know, of color to be congregated in that number, you know.
Because we about to do something dangerous.
Yeah, got to be something up to that.
Got to be. They hanging around. Look at them. They about to steal something, shoot somebody, rob somebody.
I even had a conversation, you know, with some people, you know, other black people. We're riding down the street, and I may have shared this before, but it's just an automatic association with negative when you see black kids walking down the street. I don't know why. You know, of course, a lot of that's been perpetuated to us through media and mm-hmm. other information mm-hmm. sources. But to see another group of kids walking down the street doing no harm to anybody, minding their own business, summer day, just, you know, out having a good time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, somebody could drive down the street and see them as, you know, something totally different. Like, man, look at them thugs walking down. I wonder where they going. You know? Yeah. And then may take it upon themselves to go follow them because of that suspicion.
Oh, absolutely. You know?
And it's just like, man, these very, very small things that we don't even give each other credit enough to investigate, to get to know each other, or to say, you know what, maybe those kids are just going to have an ice cream or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
They don't have cars. They don't have jobs. What else would they be doing besides walking down the street? We did that when we were kids, you know?
Yeah. But they're plotting.
They got to be up to something.
Yeah, got to be. They're going to rob the liquor store or something. You know, there's some black boys. Look at
them. But you don't automatically get credit just for, you know, just being a human being, maybe just on your way somewhere.
No, I mean, that's the society we live in. And this stuff that Donald Trump is talking about is just crazy and ridiculous. You can't, because you think that, you know, there's some suspicious going on, you just call the cops and let the cops come in. I don't want the police officers coming to my house. Okay, don't come to my house. It's my house. That's why I bought it. You know what I mean? And I invite people to my house. I don't want uninvited people to my house simply because my neighbors think that I am suspicious. Man, let me tell you something. When I bought my first house, right? Okay, I was in the house. It was almost done. So I was in the house just doing some little sweeping up and cleaning up. My doorbell rung, right? This is in Wisconsin. I go to the front door. There's an officer there. I'm like, officer? It's like, what's the problem? Well, you know, I got a call from the neighbors that there was something suspicious going on over here. I'm like, oh, okay. So what was suspicious was a black man's having his house built over here, and he's actually in his house. Mm. Officer, is there anything else you need from me? Okay, have a good day. Okay, how is that? How can I be violated in my own house? How can I be a threat in my own house? I mean, it is just all of them.
I heard a Dave Chappelle comedian told a joke one time about being arrested in his own house and then the police knocking him out and sprinkling crack on him, you know? It's all right, open and shut case, Johnson. Right. Like, this guy got pictures of himself and his family all around the house, and nobody's paying attention to that. He just knocked him out, and now he's a victim. He didn't sprinkle crack on him.
Oh, man, it's and there, you know, folks, there's stories after stories about being in situations like that. And but this talk for a minute about, you know, this ideology that ISIS group has, and I don't know if you read a lot about it, but they, you know, they want to have this last war, you know, mm-hmm. this World War III, you know, mm-hmm. where they, you know, you either convert or die, mm-hmm. And to me, it's not even based upon any moral or religious principle. It's just based upon death and hate. Mm-hmm. And people flock to that. I mean, what is appealing about a movement like that? I don't, you know, what would, you know, how does that go? You know, what size do you, okay. We need an extra large suicide vest mm-hmm. over here.
Bomb jacket.
Yeah, bomb jacket. And let's see how that fit, brother. How's it fit? Works good for you? Okay.
Oh, no, let's get him a medium.
I'm saying, what is driving people to this sort of ideology or philosophy or just what's driving these?
Two things I think about right away, two words, I guess, doing like some kind of free association.
Yes.
Hopelessness is the first word that I think of, and radical.
Yeah,
that's another word I think of. But when I say hopeless, man, like, you know, because people, I mean, I'm not sure what the foundation of these, you know, radical groups are, but they've lost hope in their leaders and the people who were supposed to, you know, keep them safe and give them direction and show them insights on how to live life correctly. And then some of them have lost so much faith in those people who, you know, were supposed to give them hope to go on. They've created their own kind of coalition, their own communities. And they base it out of that anger that they feel of, you know, being around those people who don't understand or were not able to give them what, you know, they feel like they needed. And that they've turned it against everybody because that's the only thing they have left is that fear and that anger and that, you know, disgust for everybody else who isn't, you know, stretching back to help them out.
Yeah. I mean,
but what they've done, you know, and it's really kind of hard. You know, we hear about all of these different terrorist acts, mm-hmm. and it's easy, just like with the Black Lives Matter movement, to associate ISIS with it. Mm-hmm. You know, even though they may not have anything to do with it, even though we have not really identify who ISIS is, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like this name and these people that are out there doing all this horrible stuff
in the name of ISIS.
In here, mm-hmm. Not Oklahoma, but in America, there have been people who have gone out of their way to try and join ISIS, mm-hmm. which is something else that I'm kind of, you know, baffled about. Yeah. But over 1,000 cases of investigations have been started for people who are looking to join ISIS groups.
You know, a question just popped up in my mind because, brother, you did tell me and Richard you were going to Africa.
I did.
But you ain't going to join ISIS, though.
I'm not.
Okay. Just for the record. I'm not. I just want to just make clear. I just want to make sure.
That's not
on
the agenda. That's not on the itinerary. That is not even a part of the plan at all. Like,
so no ISIS stops along the way. Okay.
No. I can show you the list, man. It's not on the list. We're gonna go on a safari.
Okay, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just, you know, it popped in my head, man. I didn't want to lose my brother. You know, love you too
much,
man.
And look, the fact you got to look at me and ask me that, that's, what have we become, man? What have we become?
Right.
But yeah, like, you know, like I'm saying, the ISIS groups, it's really hard to keep track of where that energy is coming from. Yeah. It's really hard to keep track of who's associated with ISIS, who's not. Yeah. It's hard to keep track of what stories that are coming out are actually true stories and not this, you know, fabricated or video edited crap that we get on a daily basis. Yeah. So, I mean, people have a very real reason to be afraid, I feel, but, you know, it's kind of like, why? We need to get to that. Like, why are we afraid of this?
Yeah, and it's, wow, you hit on so many different things that are so true. I mean, just the ideology, you know, this kind of umbrella of ISIS that people are now doing terrible acts that I think that are not truly associated with this group. I think what the president said, and a lot of people disagree with him, that ISIS is contained in Iraq. They are. Mm. They are contained. But these other groups out here that are doing things in the name of ISIS, okay, makes it appear that they're everywhere. Mm. And when you create fear like that, people will pass, okay, the Patriot Act, people will pass anything, okay, that the government wants to do, quote unquote, to keep me safe, okay? The Patriot Act infringed on so many of our rights. But why did it happen? Because everybody was afraid. Mm. And I'm glad to say that I worked on the campaign for the only senator, Senator Feingold of Wisconsin at the time, who voted no to the Patriot Act. And they said, actually, well, why did you vote no to the Patriot Act? He said, simply, I read it. Okay, you see what I'm saying? And it's just that simple. And so I just, man, we are in a state of fear. I'm just thinking, man, you look at the news, man, that's all they're talking about, mm-hmm. is things that you know, there is no, it's like the whole world is just crumbling.
Yeah.
And you don't understand, just like they talk about Chicago. Man, Chicago's a beautiful city with beautiful things going on, with wonderful people living there. But when you hear about Chicago, oh my God, mm-hmm. you know, they're killing each other. I can't go to Chicago. Man, Chicago is safe. There's places you can't go, just like there's places you can't go here in Oklahoma.
Exactly.
Okay? Go out to some rural places as a black man and see if you're welcome. Okay, you might see the mayor's husband in a KKK outfit with a cross. We talked about that, right? So
happy Halloween. Yo, on a lighter note, man, you know what? We have the holidays coming up.
Yes.
Thanksgiving. Maybe should we put that in or not? Okay.
Because I'll just say the holidays. We can go back and edit it, but we can just say the holidays because we don't want to date the episodes,
yeah,
right?
Oh, okay.
But we got the holidays.
Wait, you want to shut that window?
Oh.
Them trains are like howling.
Yeah, they are. So yeah, if you want to back up and say, hey, you know, on a lighter note.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. On a lighter note, though, we have the holidays coming up, a time to enjoy family, time to rejoice and
the Nat King Cole, bro.
What was that?
The Nat King Cole, you know.
The Nat
King Cole. But yeah, the holidays coming up, you know, little eggnog.
And so hopefully this is a time that we can, you know, really reflect on ourselves, you know, first of all, and then, you know, who we are as family, who we are as community, who we are as a nation.
No doubt.
And hopefully bring some of those good feelings, because like you said, man, right now it's just all chaos. You know, there's fear, there's doubt, there's worry.
Yeah.
And we need something that to help keep us kind of neutral, kind of grounded.
Yeah, and I mean, the holidays are difficult times for people because they've lost loved ones. But it's also a time to celebrate family and friends, you know, and to be thankful for the things that you have. You know, there's so many. I was thinking about, like, when I was in Chicago, how cold it was, and the people that have to sleep out in the cold, you know what I mean? And just being thankful for just a home, you know, to be in. You know, it's a time to give back too, you know, a time to be charitable. I mean, really, you know, to do it to the least among us. And so I think you're head on, DT. We have a lot to be thankful for. I mean, to be living, to be healthy.
Right.
You know, I mean, that you ain't got your health, but you got
extremities working.
That's what I'm saying.
To the top notch capability.
Being able to run, jump,
talk,
kick,
see,
punch. No, see, that was negative.
Yeah, we do
right?
all of that.
Yeah, that was negative, though, right?
Punch is good sometimes.
Punch is good.
Yeah, just depending on what your target
your
is.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay, as long as my target
dummies, bags, that kind of stuff.
Not human beings.
Not unless you
get paid for it.
Yeah,
okay.
Not unless
you're
about to get that Floyd Mayweather check.
but you know, and going into the holidays, we're on this season now of commercialism where, you know, we got Black Fridays and we have all of these, you know, the Christmas stuff that's already up.
Black
and out,
Friday?
You know. Yeah. Why can't it be White Friday? Why gotta be Black Friday? That's
know.
Your point.
You know, no, not that. I've been black every Friday this year. That's crazy. But go ahead. Yeah.
But I mean, encouraging our listeners to not get caught up in the commercialization of Christmas and all the holidays, Thanksgiving, everything, and just get kind of caught up in just being thankful for what you have, for what you don't have. I mean, that's irrelevant. I mean, things are just things, you know, it's the relationships.
That's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, I'm going to be going over to Kenya and Christmas is a big holiday there, but they don't celebrate the same way that we do. There's no Santa Claus. They don't even exchange gifts. It's just more of like you're talking about being around each other, just enjoying
the
family time.
Yeah. I love
and that's,
that.
That's going to be kind of different for me to see.
Yeah,
without the introduction of gifts and stuff like
now,
that.
Now, you just didn't try to get out and give me my gift.
No, I still got you.
I'm just checking because you might do the Kenya thing on me. Like, look, man, they in the motherland, they don't celebrate it like that, man. So that's how we doing it.
So we're going to call it a souvenir. That's different.
Oh, yeah. That's different. Okay. $500 worth of souvenir. Okay.
Gotcha.
Back down to $12. But yeah, you know, there's just so much going on in our world. And again, I just want to encourage everyone. We're approaching a season of giving, not of receiving. And, you know, some people go to the local soup kitchen. Some people go, you know, volunteer their time in the nursing homes. I mean, this is just a good time to really give back to your community, do things. This is kind of teach your kids how to be charitable, how to give back. And also, I mean, it's just a great thing, man. You get blessed by giving, not receiving. Mm-hmm. And I just encourage all our listeners to, you know, just show love, you know, this holiday season.
And that's a very simplistic way to just Show love.
Show love, man, doing this holiday. I mean, because, and not just during this season, but at all times, but even more so, you know, during this year, man. Let this be a campaign, man. It just starts off from this day forward, just showing love to your community, to your family. Make this world a better place, man. You know, later for the ISOs of the world and all the people that want to do bad things to others. You know, let's not let that be our mantra as we go into the holidays. Let's focus on what's positive at the One Mic, One Voice show. We want to speak about today's issues and things that are going on, but the message is not bleak. You know, there's work to be done. But at the end of the day, it's about lifting up, you know, your brother and your sister, no matter what color they are. It's about all of us. It's about the human race, DT.
It's about humanity.
Not just about the black race, the white race, or being an American. It's about the human race. And if you're in the human race, then you all right with me. So, anything else, brother, that we want to touch on before we get back in the studio here real soon?
Let me see. Richard?
Anything? Black in Studio.
Black in Studio.
I got to give
Black in Studio.
I got to give a shout out to
Black
in Studio.
Man, every time I come in here, it's like I see something new. You know what? Richard is probably Rich on the side.
Yeah, I'm serious,
man. I think Richard is short for just
But, you know, I notice he gets something new every time we pay him, though. That's what I notice, okay, man. It's right. Like, you know, it's like, so like, okay, so we time for us to pay. Next time we come in, I'll be like, man, that's nice, man. He's like, yeah, that's real nice. Huh? So, see, that's okay, though, because I'm going to tell you what, he's worth every penny of what he receives. And I was just
very professional.
Man, I was just in a meeting and this guy looked over at me, man, a high ranking guy in the city of Oklahoma City. And he said, I was listening to your podcast, and his exact words were, man, it sounds so professional.
That's dope.
And then he said, why are you in this job? He said, you need to be on the radio. But no, man, so Black
we're multifaceted, we're multi-talented.
That, absolutely.
We can do the job and the radio.
That's right. We're not one-dimensional. They might blend one day anyway. Mm-hmm. But what we're trying to say is, listen, folks, Black in Studio website is up. Love the logo, Richard. BlackInStudios.com. You can email them, podcast@blackinstudios.com, or hit them up on their Facebook page. I mean, we love being in Black in Studio. Matter of fact, you could even pay us to leave Black in Studio.
Somebody actually offered to show another studio site.
We ain't doing it. No.
I was like, nah.
Nah. We won't even consider it.
Nah.
Okay, we're at home here. We had Thelma here, didn't we?
And that's going to be
a lingering. See, how he looks. See, Richard, no. He pointing at him right now. His eyes just went up, man. I thought you were going to pass out for a minute.
Mike, bring me back, man. I'm lost right now. Can you find me?
Bernadette, where you at? yeah, man. But it's been a great show. As always, being with you, man, is a highlight of my day. I appreciate you. We're gonna see you next time, because history will speak of us somewhere in the distant future. Scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time, and what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us.